Well, Merry Christmas, Bethel.
I've told y'all for years I never did really like these Christmas services, but son of a buck, if they'll get that hot every Christmas, I'll be like, let's go, yeah. Man, it's good to be here. It's exciting. Thanks for coming, man. It's always, I know it's Christmas morning, and everybody's always worried about, oh, my God, Christmas, it's on Sunday. But you know what? Thanks for coming. Thanks for showing up, and thanks for being here to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read the Christmas story today. We're going to read starting in Luke chapter number 2. And we're just going to read verses 1 through 20. It's kind of the traditional little Christmas story. And then we're going to stop, and we're going to pray, and we're just going to see what the Lord might say to us. You know, I've always told y'all this, that I really ain't crazy about, and I get it, don't get all booty hurt at me, like, but I just ain't real crazy like about like boxed sermons, you know what I mean? Like every Easter is the greatest story ever. I'm not taking away from the resurrection, but I'm saying like this would be my 21st year to preach Christmas. Like after you preach Easter and after you preach Christmas so many times, you know, it's like, what can I say differently? What can I do different that they didn't hear last year? And so I'll be honest with you today, we're just going to look at some things that you and I can apply practically in our lives, not just on Christmas morning, but throughout the rest of the year. Things that will help us have a better attitude, things that will help us have better relationships, things that will help us go, wow, my Savior is alive, and I'm not just going to celebrate it one day a year. So we're going to try to have some fun. We're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to read the story, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. Everybody ready? Let me hear you say a good amen. Amen. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus, he decreed that a census would be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from a village in Nazareth called Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in swaddling. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby laying in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a host of others and the armies of heaven praising God and saying this, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God on earth and in heaven with all God whom is well pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there the baby was lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. Father, we just ask you to speak to us today, Lord. Thank you for today. What a special day it is. Help us to not forget amongst everything else that it plays in our life. Lord, speak to us. Anoint this time. Anoint this service, Lord. Let this be fresh and new. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, so it's Christmas time, y'all. It is an amazing time of year. It's a time to just slow down. How many of you know sometimes we just need to slow down? Can I hear a good amen? We live in this hustle and we live in this bustle and we're here and we're there and we go. And I know before Christmas you got to get this everything cooked and you got to get everything ready and you got to buy all these gifts and you got to beat the crowds and you go to town. But Christmas Day, just like today, I just want to encourage you, just slow down when you go home. Just slow down for a moment. Just slow down tonight after everything has happened, after you've opened all the presents. Just slow down. I am convinced it will change our heart. I'm convinced it will change our mind and our attitude and everything. It will we would just stop and slow down for a moment and recognize what this season is really all about. Christmas, it's a time to slow down. And how many of you don't like to get a few extra days off of work? Come on, somebody. Hopefully Christmas bonuses, lots and lots of good food and traditions and Santa Claus presents. It's fun. All those things are great, but we got to remember Jesus is the reason for the season. Can I hear a good amen? It's the real deal. So today we're going to talk about five simple things, five little things that we can look at that Christmas means to us, that Christmas means to me, to my grandparents' generation, to my parents' generation, to my generation, to my kids' generation. It means to all of us and something that can help us throughout the year. Number one, Christmas is a time to celebrate. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but sometimes Christians suck at celebrating. Because we're so stuffy and we're so stiff-necked and we're so about doing church and doing it this way and we have to be this way. You know what? This is about celebration. The story that I just read to you, the angels in heaven are celebrating. The shepherds in the field are celebrating. Mary and Joseph, they're celebrating. God the Father is celebrating the birth of his only begotten son. Christmas should remind us, especially as born-again believers, that I have something to celebrate. And it doesn't matter what's going on in our country, and it doesn't matter how little money is in the bank, and it doesn't matter how much my wife overspent, and it doesn't matter how cold or hot it is outside. You and I should learn to wake up every day and celebrate, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we belong to Jesus today. We should celebrate it, y'all. Every single day, it's new life. How many of you are parents in here? Let me hear you say a good amen. Inviting Christ into my heart when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's three other moments that I will never, ever, ever forget. When I was in high school, they said, Cody, what are your goals in life? I said, I want to get married and have some kids. That was just what I wanted. I had it in my heart to be a father and to be a husband. And I can tell you that when that first little boy of mine that was banging on them drums in there, when he was first born, I remember when he was born, and I remember how Jennifer cried. I didn't. Just saying. I celebrated the birth of my first son, of Will. And then several years later, here came Jesse Pate along. And I'll never forget, the doctor came in the room. They were all nonchalant and lax. And the doctor came in the room. He was a friend of ours. And he goes, how's it going? And I guess he saw the look on our face. And he ran right straight over to Jennifer. And he goes, push, boom, there he was. I mean, just like that. We celebrated. And then so many years later, sweet little sister came along, and the birth and the baby, and it was a girl, and it just celebrated. And just this Christmas, it's about a baby. It's about celebrating that, celebrating everything. It's about celebrating pro-life. Can I just say that, y'all? This is a virgin, okay? Thank God that this situation didn't take place in America. Thank God that it didn't take place in America today, because there would be a very high percentage that Mary and her family and her friends would have talked her into going and getting an abortion. But no, back in the day, she believed that the seed that God had planted in her belly, she believed that she was pregnant with a gift from God, and she fought past rumors, and she fought past fears, and she gave birth to the only begotten Son of God. Celebrate this life. Celebrate God's angels. Last week we talked about the angel of God coming down and appearing to Zechariah in the temple, bringing messages from God. How many of you know God still has charge over his angels, and God still has messages for you and I? Celebrate that God is still moving, that you may not be pregnant with the Messiah, but baby, you are pregnant with something, because God wants to give birth through you, and God wants to do great and mighty things from you. Celebrate that God uses ordinary people to do the miraculous. Celebrate Mary and Joseph, they're ordinary people. Celebrate that God speaks to his people. I would say this to you, for a moment, just close your eyes. Listen right now. Mary had to listen to what the message of God was. And you know what? God has a message for you right where you are.
in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your divorce, in the middle of your pregnancy, in the middle of your bankruptcy, in the middle of your struggles and your worries and your fears and your anger, God still speaks. Celebrate that. And I would say this to you, slow down for a moment and listen. What is God saying to you right now? More than anything I can say in the rest of this service, more than Jennifer on the fiddle and Annika on the electric guitar, more than what you're going to eat today, you and I need to hear what God is saying to us. Celebrate that God still speaks to his people. Number one, it means that it's a time to celebrate. Number two, it is a time to worship. Y'all, I love worship, and I've told you, we're going to start next year. We're going to do a five-week series on worship and what worship really is. Worship basically is just going, God, you're bigger than me, and God, you're bigger than our problems, and God, you're more mighty, and we're going to lift you up, and we're going to give you praise, and we're not going to focus on our problems, but we're going to focus on you. We're going to draw near to you, God, because the nearer you draw to God, you will see how powerful and how mighty he is, and the nearer you draw to God and the more you worship God, the more things of this earth diminish and problems go away. We have to tap in to true worship. Look, let's read the scripture. Luke 2, 13 through 14. Suddenly, the angels were joined by a vast host of others, the armies in heaven. They're praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. The angel, the birth of the baby, celebration. The angels, the shepherds, the armies of heaven, everybody is worshiping God. Can I tell you something? If you want to have a better year this next year, learn to walk in worship and learn to have a heart of worship and learn that, you know what, every day I'm going to give God the glory. How many of you know, look at me, look. How many of you know everything you've got is nothing that you earned on your own, and it's everything that God the Father gave to you. The quicker you can understand that and the quicker you can swallow your pride, I know you may have worked and I know you may have put a little time in, but God gave you the time and God gave you the health and the talent to go and to do the work. And everything we have is a good gift from God. And as soon as we can recognize that gift and begin to walk in worship, it will change everything in our life. Let me give you some more scripture. Matthew 2:11. They entered into the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You want to know what worship really is? Worship is just giving to God. Giving what you have. Giving your time. Giving your talents. Giving your resource. Giving. Christmas is all about worship. It's about worshiping others. One more scripture. John 4:23. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. God's looking for people to worship him that way. Now, let's be real. How many know they was cooking in coconut oil up here this morning on the worship team? Come on, somebody. And it's good, and I'm partial, and I think it's better than anybody else, and it helps us. It is a catalyst. It helps me begin to worship God. It helps me get my heart woke up. It helps me get my eyes on the things of God. But I'm telling you, tomorrow morning, you have to make a choice yourself to say, you know what? God is looking for people that will worship him. God is not looking for your perfection. God is not looking for your phoniness. God is looking for people that will worship him. Tomorrow, you and I both have to make a choice to say, I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to say glory to God in the highest, and I'm going to say praise you, Father, because you are worthy and you are good, and every good thing I got, we need to learn to exalt God over everything else in our lives. That's what took place in Christmas. First thing is this, we learn to celebrate, and then we learn, it reminds us there's a time of worship, and then this next one could be my favorite one. It is a time to remind us to embrace joy. Joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy is what the angel announced. Joy. We need to get the joy of the Lord back into our lives. Joy. Joy changes everything, man. We should be so joyous. Listen to me. Nehemiah 8:10 says, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what makes us strong. How many of you need strength to get through life and strength to get through struggles and strength to get through these last few hours of the Christmas holiday? We need joy. We need strength. And the way that we get strength is we go, you know what? I choose joy. Look at me. Look. You have an opportunity to choose joy. Don't tell me how tough it is. Don't tell me how bad it is. Don't tell me what a struggle it is. Every day is a choice. Choices make people, and people make choices. And if you need stuff to change in your life, you need to choose joy. Because if you don't have joy, you are focused on the wrong things. You are focused on the things of this world. You're focused on the struggles. You're focused on yourself. You're focused on what people did wrong to you. You're focused on what you don't like about life. You're focused on what you don't like about our nation. If you get your eyes on the baby that was born in the manger, it will bring some joy back to your life. It is your choice. Can I say it again? It is your choice. You need to choose joy. Some of you look like you sucked a big old sour lemon sitting out there this morning. You got a scowl on your face, your eyes are barely open, and you're mad at the world, and you wonder why nobody wants to be around you. I'm telling you today, you need to make a choice and say, you know what? I am going to choose joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And when you make that choice, strength will begin to rise up in you, and everything will change. The greatest Christians I know, they're not the ones that can quote the most scripture. Just telling you, quoting scripture is good. But the greatest Christians and the most impactful Christians are not the ones that can pray in tongues longer than anybody else. The greatest Christians that I know don't have the best attendance at church. The greatest Christians that I know, you know what they are? They're just the ones that are full of joy, because joy changes our world. Joy. It's a time to be reminded of joy. Listen, watch this. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm thinking about Jesus and a little baby. And how many of you ever had a crying baby in your home before at night? Like, they never cry till nighttime, right, y'all? That's when their belly starts hurting. That's when they start having struggles and they get fever. And at night, something about the dark, and you've got a baby, and you're walking around, and you're tired, and you're comatose, and you're just about to go to sleep, and you want to pull your hair out. But sooner or later, the baby goes to sleep, and the next morning, when you look up, it's a baby, and it's joy, and you've forgotten about the crying, and you've forgotten about the lack of sleep, and the baby just brings joy. And so some of you may be walking around in your nighttime hour right now. Some of you may be walking around in the darkness, and you're wondering, what the heck? And I'm just saying to you, choose joy and hang on, because joy is coming in the morning. Joy will bring you strength. It's just what it is. John 15:11. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Jesus says, I'm telling you all this stuff because I want you to be filled with joy. I'm telling you all these things. I want you to be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Let me ask you, how many of you are overflowing with joy? Maybe some of you are like that old song, I got the joy, 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 but it's way down in my heart and nobody can see it. No, Jesus said, I'll give you my joy, and it shall be overflowing out of you. Everywhere you go, joy will absolutely change our life. It's a time to celebrate. It's a time to worship. It's a time to choose joy. And Christmas is a time of overcoming, y'all. Now, I know we drive by those churches and we see this cute little manger scene. But have you ever thought in your mind, like, this Christmas story, it's not as cute as we've made it out to be in America. It's not as cute. I mean, listen, y'all, Mary's a virgin. Mary's a virgin, and I know nowadays that doesn't mean a whole lot, but still, biblically speaking, that is a very important value that we need to be teaching our sons and daughters. Come on, somebody. I know nowadays, you know, give it away. I know nowadays, give it up. I know nowadays, everybody's doing it. I know nowadays, try out the car before you buy it. No, no, no. The Word of God says God has a husband and a wife, and they need to be virgins and come together. And now in the story, Mary has worked hard. Her parents, have worked hard, and they've taught her taught her about virginity, and they've taught her about holding herself. They've taught about carrying herself with dignity and grace and not flaunting it all out. And so she holds true to the teachings of her mother and father, and now she's got this guy, Joseph, and an angel appears to Mary and says, Mary, you're going to be pregnant. She goes, wait a minute, I know how this deal works. How's it going to be? He said, the power of God's going to impregnate you with something. And so she has to go and have this talk with Joseph. Now, y'all, let's think about this. How do you think this conversation went? Hey, Joseph, we need to talk, buddy. I'm pregnant. You better not be, hon. What do you mean? You've been telling me you're a virgin this whole time. We're espoused to get married. We're trying to do this right in the eyes of God. Joseph didn't really believe the story because the Bible says that he was willing to divorce her privately. He didn't know. He didn't understand. But she speaks these things to him, and then he at least goes and gets in a quiet place and prays himself, and God speaks to him, and God said, this is right. She's telling the truth. Accept her, love her, and marry her. They had to overcome a lot of stuff, y'all. Can you imagine the rumors talking about Mary as her belly began to grow? You know how, can I tell you something? Church folk are vicious sometimes. Come on, somebody. Well, look at that little hussy. Her old mother and daddy act like they're all better than everybody else. Look at her. I know how that happens. Sure, it was an angel of the Lord, yeah. I mean, really, let's think about this. This had to be a tough struggle. They had to be really, really grounded in their faith. They're poor. They have no money. You can tell by the kind of sacrifice and the offerings that they make as the turtle doves. They're poor. They're living in poverty. Everything seems to be going against them. And then they have to travel 90 miles to go pay taxes. Who wants to do that? Especially with a woman who's 9 months pregnant. Come on, somebody. They do. Think about it. It's when they get to the town, she's 9 months pregnant, traveling. 9 months pregnant, and they get there. And he knocks. He's like, babe, I know you got, like, I'll take you to the Marriott, babe. And he knocks on the door of the Marriott. And the Marriott says, sorry, no vacancy. Okay, babe, Hampton Inn, I got you. Knock, 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 Hampton Inn, no rooms. Well, how about Super 8? Nope, no rooms. How about Motel 6? No rooms. What are we going to do? And she says, dude, I'm telling you right now, my water just broke. You got to get me somewhere laid down. And being improvising, he goes and he says, here's a barn. Lay down in the stall, girl. There's freshly bedded shavings over there anyway. Seriously, you get this? It's not sanitary. The baby is born in a barn. And he's laid in a manger with chicken poop and cow poop and horse poop. It's ugly. It's horrible. It's not good. It is a story of absolutely overcoming every obstacle that the world throws against us. Listen, do you see that Mary and Joseph knew how to celebrate? Do you see that they knew how to worship God? Do you see that they were full of joy in the middle of all this struggle? They did not let it get them down. Can I encourage you? Don't let it get you down. Watch this. It doesn't quit there, though. It doesn't quit after the baby is born and everything. Next thing you know, King Herod, the most powerful man in the country, is trying to kill baby Jesus and kill all of the baby boys. Now they have to take a detour. She can't hurry back home to get her mother and dad to help her with the baby. She can't go back and show the baby off to her friends. They have to go way around to avoid Herod trying to kill this baby. I love the tenacity that they had. Can I just encourage you in this? Sometimes life is tough. Can I hear a good amen? Learn not to whine. Learn not to be a titty baby. Learn not to be a whiny hiney. Learn not to get mad at everybody else when things don't go your way. Learn not to get mad at God. Learn not to lose your temper. Learn not to get bitter. Learn to go, God has brought me from a mighty long way, and God is on my side. And if God be for me, who shall be against me? And there is no weapon formed against me that shall be able to prosper. Their attitude was amazing. Last thing in this, and then we're done. First, we need to learn to celebrate through Christmas, worship through Christmas, choose joy through Christmas, and know that it reminds us that God always overcomes. And the last thing, the most important thing, it means a Savior is born to you and I. It means that a Savior is born to you and I. It means that we all needed saving. It means that none of us, there is none righteous, No, not one. It means this: all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No matter how long you've attended church, no matter how much money you've got, no matter how righteous you try to live, our righteousness is as filthy rags, and without God giving his only begotten son and making a blood covenant with you and I, and without this baby being born in a manger who was born ultimately to die 33 years later, without every bit of that, you and I wouldn't have a snowball's chance in hell of having eternal life. That's it. That's what this means. It is a Savior. A Savior. A Savior is born unto us who has redeemed us. It's God's plan coming together. Do you realize from Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, at that moment, the first prophecy of Jesus was made in Genesis? God said to the enemy, you know what? There will come one who will crush your head and you will hurt, you will bruise his heel. Genesis 3, 4,000 years later, the prophecy of the Redeemer and the Messiah and Emmanuel came to pass and the baby Savior was born. For it, the plan came together. Can I say this? He is Emmanuel. Can I say, y'all know what Emmanuel means? Let me just say this right quick. This is what separates Christianity from every other religion and every other spirituality in the world. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. You know what that means? God with us. It's so important that you know that, because Jesus being born on this earth means God with us. It's God the Father's way of sending his son and coming down to where we are and redeeming us out of the pit of sin. Every other spirituality, every other religion in the world takes us to work our way and earn our way to be with God. But in this situation, God said, you can't earn your way and you can't work your way to come be with me. And so since you can't, in your weakness and in your flesh and in your sin, I am going to make a way. God came down and dwelt with us. That's why he is Emmanuel. He came to be with us and to redeem us out of the mess that we had gotten ourselves into. Conrad, worship team, y'all, come help me close this. The prophecy of the Messiah for 4,000 years, they said the baby's coming. Prophecy. How many know God's promises are yes and amen? God always does what he said he would do. God showed up. The baby was born. Genesis 3:15, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, devil, and you will strike his heel. Jesus came to destroy the devil. Jesus came to destroy the devil. Isaiah 7:14. All right, then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God came to be with you, Avon. God came to be with you, John. Chelsea, God came to be with you. Cole, Clay, God came to be with you. Wade, he came to be with you. You get that? That's what Christmas is. Jesus came to be with us, to change us, to forgive us, to cleanse us. He came to be with us. That's what it's all about. It's the greatest gift ever given or the greatest gift ever received. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Look. We win today because over 2,000 years ago, a baby was born in a manger. We win! Now, we don't lose. We win. Despite everything else, we win. That's what we're celebrating. I lost a lot of basketball games. I lost a lot of money at a lot of rodeos. Come on, somebody. I lost a lot of money on bucking bulls. I lost a lot of money on this and horses. I lost a lot of things in my life. But in this situation, I win. You win. That's what we're celebrating. Worship, joy, overcoming. It's our Savior. I wonder if Mary really even understood what was going on in all this. As we go through life, do you even understand how impactful your life is? As you go through your daily life, do you even understand that God has planted seeds inside of you and wants you to give birth to great things? I wonder if Mary's like, did she ever even know that this baby she was carrying would someday be the Messiah? Did she know that if she fought through and overcame all the struggles and all the whining and all the rumors that someday this baby boy would be the Redeemer? Did she even know? I actually think she did. I actually think she knew because she was that close with the Lord and she trusted that Lord. And I think through it all, she celebrated, she worshiped, and she chose joy, and she overcame because of that Savior. Will you stand on your feet with me today? We're going to sing a closing song today. I'm just going to ask the Lord to speak to you. Holy Spirit, speak to us, all of us. Challenge us in the closing moments of this service. Challenge us, God. Wherever we are, whatever we might be going through, you know exactly. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.